Today we begin Hilchos Nida, Siman Kuf Pei Gimel. Now, to be honest, Hilchos Nida is a lot longer than the Simanim that we're going to learn here, because if we would learn straight through, it would just an hour a week, it would take us a very long time. So what you have in your photostats are Siman Kuf Pei Gimel, the beginning of Siman Kuf Pei Dalet, and then Siman Kuf Tzadik Vav, which is probably the main Siman, which is Negea on a constant basis. It goes without saying that we're not going to cover everything, and that whatever we don't cover we'll have to leave for some other time. Whatever we could chepper in, some other Simanim I'll try to apply. Now Siman Kuf Pei Gimel, which is an introductory siman to Hilchos Nida, interestingly enough, deals with the chilek between a Nida d'Oraisa and a Nida d'Rabbanan, which the Shulchan Aruch does not generally bother making a chilek about between d'Oraisas and d'Rabbanan, because the Shulchan Aruch is halacha l'maisa. Nevertheless, here in Siman Kuf Pei Gimel, the Shulchan Aruch begins with defining the criterion of a Nida d'Oraisa. Isha sheyotza dam imekaira, a woman sheyotza dam, that blood flowed me mekaira, from the makar. The makar is understood by all the paiskim to mean the womb or the uterus, and we'll have to define what that means exactly. Bein ba'inis bein baratzen tameya, whether it happens ba'inis or baratzen. Now, what does it mean ba'inis or baratzen? So you have to know that in halacha, there are two concepts. In the Torah, there's a concept of a zav, a man who has certain bodily excretions which are not normal. That's a zav by a man. And in Hilchis, the halachas of a man who becomes tamei. So there is an exception that somebody who's raya, because of an act that he did, because of either a physical exertion that caused him to have this excretion, or it says he was mabit bi'isha and that caused him, the mandiyama and the mishnah and the zavim, who holds that it's command impossible for a man to become a zav unless he wakes up in the morning and he right away experiences a clear excretion, then he's a zav. But afilo achol kol maichol v'shasa kol mashke, there's a tana who holds that he's not a zav. So being that in Hilchis Zav we find such a chilek between the Aydis and the Ratzin, so the Shulchan Aruch has to tell us that by a Zava or a Nida there's no difference. Bein ba'inis, bein baratzin, it doesn't matter if she can attribute the flow to something. If it came out of the womb, it's Temeya. Okay, now that first line, before we get to the second part of the Siman, that first line I think to most of you was probably a Dover Pashas. Now, let me... before we get to the second half of the sif, let me just be magdim something that's very important to be aware of, just a very basic idea in Chumash, in the Pashtus HaTorah, and that is the chilek between a nida and a zava. In halach l'maisa there's no chilek. We don't make any type of distinction between a nida and a zava, but in HaTorah there is a difference between a nida and a zava. What's a nida and what's a zava? The Torah refers to Zava as a type of a disease, an unusual, the Ramban in Chumash touches a Zava as something that comes from a machla, an unusual type of bleeding. And the Gemara refers to it as a Nida, is a normal bleeding, and any time in the month that a woman bleeds, for up to 7 days, that bleeding is considered Dam Nida. 7 days of bleeding is considered Dam Nida. After those 7 days, it's not normal for a woman to bleed, and we have what the Gemara refers to as Yud Aleph Yaim Shebein Nida L'Nida. There are 11 days between Nida and Nida. The next 11 days after the 7 are Yemei Zava. During those days, if a woman bleeds, that's Dam Ziva, not Dam Nida. And instead of the halachas of Dam Nida kicking in, halachas of Dam Ziva begin. For those 11 days, there are major differences between Dam Nida and Dam Zava. In HaTorah, a woman is a Nida, does not need Shiva Nekiyim. She needs Shiva Yamim, but not Shiva Nekiyim. And only a Zava needs Shiva Nekiyim. And the Chazal tell us that It was originally a minig of Bnei Yisrael. Later, Reb Zeira made it into a takana that any dam you need shiva nikiyim for. But mina tayra on the derisidika level, and you have this in the Gemara very often. You'll have it in Bava Basra, also learning Daf Yomi and Yeshnaichlin. The concept of Yud Aleph Yom Shevei Nida LeNida, that there are 11 days, 7 days a woman is a nida if she bleeds. Subsequently, there are 11 days where any bleeding during the 11 days makes her a zava. There's a difference how much bleeding she has, different levels of zava. If she bleeds one day, she's shemeres yon keneged yayim. She's only tummy for an extra day. If she bleeds twice or three times, then she needs shiva nikiyim. Now, two times she's again shemeres yon keneged yayim, and three times she needs shiva nikiyim. Okay, by a man, even two times needs shiva nikiyim. Now that's the halacha. Now it's important to know something which is discussed at great length by all the Paiskim here in the beginning of Siman Kuf Pei Gimel, even though it's not halacha lamaisa, but as I said, the Shulchan Aruch begins with the difference in Derais and Rabbanim. How would you understand if I tell you the Gemara says there are 7 days of Nida followed by 11 days of Zava? So how would you all understand what happens after the 11 days? You say a woman doesn't bleed till the 30th day. So we would all assume that that's not Nida. That's 7 of Nida, 11 of Zava, 18, and then day 19, 20, well, whenever she starts bleeding, then she's a Nida again. And that's the way most Rishayim, Rashi, and the Gemara always names on. The Rambam has a Shita, which seems to be a Pella. The Rambam holds that it's a constant clock. 7, 11, 7, 11, right? It goes in a constant cycle. 7 days is that Nida. Next 11, Zav, Ziva. After those 11, even if she doesn't get a period, days 19, the 7 days, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, is Damnida if she bleeds. Then from day number 26 to day number 37, even if she starts to get a period, she's a Zava. That's how the Rambam quotes B'Shem Degainim. Which if you think about it, it's not logical to follow in the understanding of what Damnida is and Damzava is. Damziva is an unusual bleeding, Damnida is a routine bleeding. So all the Achrayinim, beginning with the Mashal and all the later Achrayinim, all are Matchik Moed, there's a Chavis Das here, I see the Aruch HaShulchan has a long Arichus to try to answer the Rambam Shita. And the how to answer it is not important, it's not Halacha L'Maisa, but it's a very basic idea to know. When you learn Gemara, the concept of Yud Aleph Yom Shevei Nida LeNida, that we have these two opinions. Rabbi Yishayin Mohel, they go 7, 11, and then when she starts, the clock begins again. Next time she starts bleeding, it's again the 7 starts and the 11. And the Rambam Shita, which at least the way it reads, seems to be that it's a constant 7, 11, 7, 11. Asher Peleid, when she gives birth, then when she bleeds the first time, it starts again, 7, 11, 7, 11.
It makes it much easier to understand the Chumrah Vayinah.
Because yeah, according to the Rambam, we could understand. Yeah, one of the reasons it says the Nais Yisrael the Chmiru al Atzman that they sit Zayin Nikiyim. The Nais Yisrael the Chumrah, right? When the ladies complain that it's hard, you tell them it's their fault, right? The Nais Yisrael started this Chumrah, but the fact is, according to the Rambam, it's a very complicated cheshbon, and one of the reasons it's brought down to the Nais Yisrael the Chmiru is because they were afraid they messed up the cheshbon, and you have to realize another thing. That according to this, and this is not only according to the Rambam, according to anybody, if a woman sees dam, she's not sure if it's dam nida or not. It might be dam, might not have it in dam nida. So today, maybe they're machmir, certain cases. But if you would have to go with the cheshbon 7-11, it's not being machmir is a cool on the back end. Because if she sees on Sunday, she'll say, "Oh, machmir, this is dam." So she counts 7 days. So next time she'll bleed, it's dam ziva. But it might not be because the first dam might not have been dam nida. She might have more days of nida. Which at the end means the Ziva extends longer. So that, being that the Cheshbon was complicated, and also it says, Kasheinanu Bekiyim Beimaris Lamaris, we're not experts in telling the difference between red dam and red that's not dam. So Lefikach, it says the Nais Yisrael, Hechmiru Al Atzman. As I said, it's not only Hechmiru Al Atzman, Reb Zeira later codified it as a Takana, that you always need Shiva Nikiyim. But at least to know the difference between Dam Nida and Dam Ziva, that's a very important basic idea to know. Now, always need Shiva Nikiyim, whether it's Dam Nida or Dam Ziva.
You have to wait for the full 7 days of Dam Nida to finish before you start counting the Seven Nikiyim?
You have to wait. Seven Nikiyim, by definition, means clean days.
Okay.
So that
if a woman has a vest,
I mean, you're talking about Torah or Midrabanan? Halacha l'mayis. You have to wait for, no matter what, you have to wait for the bleeding to end, even if it takes a dozen days. If it takes 5 days, so she waits 5 days. If it takes 7, you wait 7. However long it takes, Shiva Nakiyah means they have to be clean days with no bleeding. So if there's any bleeding, that you have to begin the Shiva Nakiyah.
Stop bleeding before?
Excuse me?
Four or five days.
Not all women are the same. Some women bleed, many women bleed. Right. 6 is the most common, and some bleed women 7, some even bleed more than 7.
Well,
after 5 days, what's your question? After 5 days, you can start the Shiva Nakiyah. Yeah, after 5 days, you can start Shiva Nakiyah. Not sure what the minigos Sfaradim are. Could be Sfaradim only count 4 in certain communities. We'll see why we get this in the Sadi Club. But the Ashkenazim, the Ramah says we pack in 5 and 7 always. Okay, the Syrians count. What?
Syria.
But here they count 5 again. Okay, now there's a question before we get again to the second half of the Sif. There's a question here of what constitutes Dame Mekaira. Okay, let's just, the basic idea is that the woman, the vagina is the, well, Chazal called the Praizdar, the passageway up to the womb that leads to the outside of the body. That's called the Praizdar, or the vagina in English. Following that is the uterus, is the Aver, which is a womb, and which is where the bleeding comes from. The lips of the uterus are known as, are in English, the cervix. In Hebrew, the pihamakar. Okay? Now, basically, that's what you have to know. We find in Chazal a lashon of bein hashinayim. There is in the uterus a shape, the mouth, I guess you have to picture like an estrig with a long nose or a pear, has a narrow opening. And there is a question in halacha about where the cervix ends and where the uterus begins. Medically, they have numerous names for that space, the narrow space, and the question is where halachically the uterus begins, and that's not negiah to us. If somebody has a shaila, it's rather complicated. There is a serious question in halacha regarding different medical procedures that take place. Now, first of all, a woman who has a pap smear does not become a nida. A pap smear, which women should have every other year. They get older, some women have it every year. It's very much like a throat culture. You know, the doctor takes, they used to use Q-tips, now they have different instruments, where I understand whatever they're scraping or probing, it has a din of the cervix, not the uterus. If that bleeds, it's not dam nida. A woman who has a pap smear should wear colored begadim, so she shouldn't have a question of kesamim. But the pap smear itself does not make a woman a nida. And most internal examinations do not make a woman a nida because they don't go into the uterus. There are certain procedures which are common and there are questions as to whether it makes a woman a nida. First of all, there's a very common problem with women after they have a number of children. Is something known as cervical erosion, where the lip of the lips, which form the cervix, become thinner, being that it's gone through that many labors. And the normal treatment of this is cauterization, and correct me if I'm wrong, Dr. Ringel, where they actually, all they do when they cauterize is they burn the cervix, and that causes scar tissue to form, and that scar tissue is a thickening of the cervix. And that cauterization would normally cause bleeding. That bleeding, I think, according to most Paiskim, is not damnida, again, because it's not in a space which would be considered the uterus. Now, the question is, there are many other procedures which take place inside. There are different scrapings of the uterus, and sometimes different types of examinations. There's very often dye is put into the uterus for different types of tests. And they have numerous names for the different tests, depending on what they're testing. But dye is put in, and sometimes that causes bleeding inside the uterus. But it's not the regular bleeding. And it's a difficult question about how to deal with this, because we don't find the earlier Paiskim. I mean, until the 20th century, doctors didn't poke around inside the uterus. So it's a difficult question, and I was very happy to find a letter from the Chazon Ish that Rabbi Ida brings down in his Sefer on Hilchos Nida, which gives a guideline in how to deal with this particular shaila. And it's an interesting one, an interesting geder, And I can't say if it's halacha l'maaseh or not. I have some rabbanim do go with it, some don't. Some are more mekel, some are more machmer, depending on the Kabbalah that they have. But this, to me, sounds like a very straight, easy guideline. Rabbi Ida writes, is any woman who experienced bleeding from her uterus, makar, regardless of how minute, is considered a nida, which is the words of Shulchan Aruch that we just read. Whether it occurred during her normal menstrual period or any other time, she's a nida. No difference. Now, one is not considered a nida when the cause of the bleeding is known to be attributed to a wound, inflammation, cervical erosion, or its treatment by cauterization, or any other form of internal injury or irritation. Okay? So what he's saying is, a chiddush, that even if there's an irritation in the vagina or in the cervix, that's not dam nida, that's pashit. That is, she's not a nida. What he's saying is that even if it's an inflammation of the cervical erosion, all right, cervical erosion is not a raya, but he says internal injury or irritation, which seems to say even in the uterus, that itself is not dam nida. Now, what is the source for that? So he brings down a letter from the Chazon Ish. This is a letter Chazon Ish wrote to a Dr. Taub, which was printed in the Apardis, Shnas Lamed Hay, and subsequently reprinted in the Pe'er Hadar, which is a 4 or 5 volume biography of the Chazon Ish. In where? In the Pe'er Hadar? Rabbi Ida, page 5, right in the beginning. And he brings, this is a quote of the Chazon Ish, Ritzayni Litzayin, Ki Halacha Kevaz Gimel in Yanei Damim. A woman could bleed from the uterus in one of three ways. Aleph, the first way, is the normal monthly bleeding. Every month a woman has a cycle, and at a certain point in that cycle the lining on the inside of the uterus dries up, and that causes bleeding from the, you know, some people imagine it like a washing machine, that over a month the blood piles up and then the washing machine opens. It's not really what happens. The uterus doesn't fill up with blood. What happens is that the lining of the uterus dries up and it cracks, and then there's bleeding, which the Pais can talk about as extra blood in the body, which the body produces so that if it becomes pregnant, it needs the extra blood, and if not, so the body gives off the blood. So that's the first type of dam, which is certainly dam nida. Beis, dam habash leibizman havest, ayidei einis. He says you could also have bleeding, which happens not during the time she expects a period, but it happens k'may d'chikai hakar berechem. Let's say she gets a wound in the uterus, and she bleeds. So the normal same veins are bleeding that would bleed for dam nida. That's type number 2. And type number 3 is dam habah machmaseret ba'or harechem, blood which comes because of a scratch, as opposed to a wound, which was type number 2. Type number 3 is a scratch, shebitzputz adam ba ba'isayayfin, shebab v'petza b'sharagof, which bleeds in a manner that would come from a wound in other parts of the body. Now, I'll tell you in a second. Hashnayim Rishayim Mitzad Halacha Heim Oisrim Esoyisha Matzrich Allah Hefsek Shal Zayin Yamim Nikiyim Utfila Adam Ashlishi Tar. He draws a distinction between a wound such as a haka, berechem haka, it's like a bang.
Dam habosh
letters on the side there is kamay dechika oy haka. Pressure or hit berechem haka im nizilas adam. Okay, press or not. He says in brackets, I don't know if this is Rabbi Ida's brackets or the Chazon Ish's, blood which comes because of birth or because of a miscarriage. So that's, so type Beis, he says, the first two types, those are dam nida, even if it's because of a wound. Type number 3, dam haba machmaseret ba'or harechem, shebitzbut sadam ba'ba oisei oifin shebab b'petza b'shar haguf. Now, I'm reading you the words because you can understand this however you understand it. The way I understand this to mean, and I'm not sure, but I know at least I discussed it with one of the Paiskin here in Flappish, one of the older Paiskin who understood it this way, is that what he's saying is that the inside of the uterus is uniquely sensitive, being that the blood is close to the surface. And what he's saying is sometimes, or if it's a wound, a similar type of wound, which would be a wound in the other parts of the body, so then that would... a wound which is similar to other types of the body, that's dam nida. But if it's just a scratch, which in other parts of the body would not cause bleeding, but because of the sensitive nature of the uterus, it causes bleeding, as if it would be a petza b'shar haguf, as if it would be a wound. So that, I believe, the Chazon Ish is saying, is tar.
If it's the way I understand, that would be a hakar.
No.
If it's a scraping, which would cause bleeding anywhere in the body, that's a hakar. That's not a seres. That's a bang. If it causes bleeding everywhere.
No, a biopsy. So you take a small biopsy, whatever.
Right. Yeah.
So biopsy anywhere in the body is bleeding. So
not anatomy, but I would think that that's a hakar.
No, that's a
seres. Does the uterus bleed more easily on a seres?
I don't know.
Okay, that's my understanding. I'm not sure.
It sounds like type 2 is that the hakar causes a flow.
Right.
And the flow is neither, even though it's caused by hakar. And type 3 is a seret, and it doesn't have to be a seret.
Because it's a small amount of bleeding, like by any scratch.
Right. Which is, it's not a question of the amount, but the fact that it's
not a flow.
It's not a flow.
Okay.
That's what it sounds like.
What would you call a uterine biopsy?
I'm not familiar enough with what takes place at a biopsy.
A small piece of skin.
Yeah, and that causes bleeding?
Yeah, sure.
That causes bleeding anyway? Yeah,
yeah, do the colon bleed, do the mouth bleed, do anyway you want to bleed.
So I'm not sure.
Pashtus
is number three. Okay. Pashtus is number three if it doesn't begin a regular flow of bleeding, which is what you're saying. The language sounds to say, in the second gather, he says, it's garim nizilay sadam, a flow. And the second one, he says, it bleeds by isayayf and shabab and pesa basharagov. A little bit in the rest of the body.
Besides having that need, it has regular blood like the rest of the body, you're saying. It's treated as a regular organ.
Okay.
Another organ would bleed from some kind of whatever, then the uterus is no different than
that. Alright, fine. But is the fact that way? Is it physically that way?
But
there's no scraping. Scraping anywhere, scraping like a DMC. That's how hard you scrape it.
So there's no difference.
It's no different in the uterus.
The body's no different.
Okay.
Same with the colon.
I'm not sure that it's that way.
Alright.
Okay. Anyway, this Chazaynish is understood, at least by some of the Rabbanim today, as being a makar for being mitaher, many of the different scraping in particular, called DMC, that's a source for being mitaher, based on this Chazaynish. Okay? What?
So that's called a seret. So
right. A seret which causes the type of bleeding which comes from a small wound. If it's a hakar which causes a flow, which is really what he's saying, is that that's
not saying makar, you
say hakar. I don't understand what the distinction
is
drawing.
I hit somebody.
Well, when you do a biopsy, scraping, you're hitting somebody.
No,
aren't
you? No, you're scratching them.
Okay.
I would think that the
guideline that he's saying is, like you're saying, it's the difference between a zilo sadam and a bleeding kamay pesah b'sharagla. I would think the way you're saying is good. Yes, if it flows like that, neither. That seems to be the correct interpretation. Okay. What? This case three seems to be that it's a small amount of bleeding, like when you scrape your hand. And case two is when it bleeds like when a woman gives birth. It's also a maka inside. It's not regular monthly bleeding. Now, what? It could say it's the amount or the style of the bleeding.
What about a tumor uterus? Where do you put that?
There's a question, and I can't answer about any. Why do you say a tumor, even a polyp? A polyp which bleeds and has its own. I don't understand this, but the doctors say that has its own blood. The polyp, it's not the regular veins that are bleeding through the polyp.
Yeah, well, yes,
blood, no blood.
The uterus continues into the polyp.
Okay, I don't know. I have different information about polyps. I know. Yeah, those who are mitar polyps, because they consider a polyp is a small growth, like a wart, but it's a blood-filled, a wart doesn't have blood in it, and a polyp has blood in it. It's an overgrowth of tissue, which is filled with blood?
It has blood in it.
So what I was told by one person who's supposedly an expert, is not what you're saying, is that the polyp has its own blood, and it's not the bleeding of the veins, it has its own blood collected in it. And the argument was that for that reason it shouldn't be done either. I'm not sure that that's accurate.
It's not menstrual bleeding. It's a bleeding.
Okay, I'll tell you, I don't know. The polyps, I have not, it's... somebody who can have a polyp removed naturally should have it removed during a time in a month where it works out conveniently with a pila. But the other, I can't answer that. Now, fibroids, which I'm not a doctor. The way I understand it's a thickening of the lining. Right, is it a thickening of the lining which bleeds because of shedding? What causes the bleeding?
Yeah, there's too much, not enough blood for amount of muscle.
Anybody is well. I don't claim to be an expert on this. I'm not an expert on medical shilas. If the little that it's been explained to me, the fibroids, it would seem to me that it's a regular dharma bleeding of the lining.
It's not hormonal, you think it's...
It's not hormonal, but it's a bleeding of the lining, isn't it? Isn't there a bleeding of the inside lining?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know, and anybody's free to ask. My understanding of it is that that's not either. If it's a thickening of the lining, then it still seems to be the lining. If it's defined as a thickening of the lining, it's still the lining. Is the growth is defined as a growth on the lining, right?
It's a growth that hangs out, right?
Okay, I'm not sure.
And it's a tumor?
If free to...
A
tumor and a polyp would seem to come under the same...
A tumor can be in the wall of the uterus. It doesn't have to be...
If it's the wall of the uterus which is bleeding, then it would seem to be done either. That's my understanding.
You want to include hormonal-related bleeding at this...
It doesn't matter if it's hormonal bleeding. That's clear. That it doesn't matter if it's the hormonal bleeding which comes by the regular cycle or not by the regular cycle. That's done either. Women who have the midterm spotting, if it would be enough blood to be dhamnida, it would be dhamnida, even though it's not caused by the normal chain of hormonal, the drying up of the uterus. Okay. If you want to teach me anything else, you have to teach me after, all right? They can tell by looking at the blood if it has a halacha of dhamnida. But whether that would answer this question, it's not likely it would. Okay? Because blood is blood. Okay, somebody who's trained can tell the difference between blood and what halacha doesn't consider to be blood, to be mostly mucus.
I would retire like that.
What?
I would retire like
that. Retire what?
Saying, well, this doesn't look like damnida.
Somebody who's trained can tell the difference between damnida. In the time of the Gemara, they could tell between reds. Today we can't tell between reds. The reds which is damnida, that which is blood from elsewhere. Today you go to an area, somebody has vaginal bleeding, no rub can tell the difference between vaginal bleeding and bleeding and any other. Okay, let's see if I can. Well, we'll talk about it, okay? Let's go on. So that's point number one. Now, Behusha Targish, this is an important deraisa dikechilik. Behusha Targish bi yitziyasa. That a woman is only tamei min hatayra, she has a hargasha at the time that she begins to bleed. Umil misha Targish bi shenek amim akaimei viyatsa tamei. But as soon as she feels, now what does she feel? We'll have to see. What does it look sound like? She feels that the blood was uprooted from its spot and it left to Meya. Even if the blood is still in the vagina, it didn't exit her body, she's tamei right away. Now this is really a pretty much academic, because if it's in the body, she usually is not aware of it. But the halakhic point is that she becomes a nida when the blood passes out of the uterus, past the cervix, and it's in the vagina, then she's tamei. Even if she only saw the tiniest amount of blood, like the size of a mustard seed. Now you look right away at the shach, gimel, right, kechargel, vuhadim pachus. Alright? In the Talmudic law, you always have to say, it's the size of a mustard seed, but what about smaller than a mustard seed? So he says even smaller. It's just a lashon of afilatipas dam kechargel, even the tiniest amount, yeshevet lo zaynikim. Kashi's bar mishpatan, the Rama says, lekaman simin kuf tzadik vav, which we'll see when we get to im yitzah shem simin kuf tzadik vav. Ve'en chilek pe penuya l'nisui l'nyinis anida. There's no difference between a penuya, an unmarried woman, or a married woman, l'nyinis anida. Ki kaf al anida, chayev karas. Why would I think there's a difference between an unmarried woman and a married woman? So there's a very strong argument. Now don't get me wrong, this halacha l'maisa, there's no question, a penuya. But the Gemara says that what? But still, she's a nida. The Gemara says Neima Amru Nida L'Shiva. So the Gemara says Mivnei Sharagel V'Katzva. The reason HaKadosh Baruch Hu the Torah gives Hilchus Dam Nida is Mivnei Sharagel V'Katzva, so that a husband, so that a couple should really have every month should have a cycle where a woman is Asur and becomes Mutter. Now that only applies to a Nesua. That would seem not to apply to a penuya. So somebody could argue that a penuya should be the halacha of shivanakim shouldn't apply. She's a chetame for me, but why shivanakim? Why shiva yamin b'chlau? So if you look at the bottom, there's a teres hashlamin, which you don't have anywhere else in Hilchis, in Yeridaya. It's a separate pirish from the Michas Yaakov. It was an early Akrein on Hilchis Nida. And in Oiz Dalid, he discusses this point at length. That Pnuya, who says a Pnuya has Shiva Nikim? You need Shiva Yamin? But as a matter of halacha, there's no question that Loi Darshin and Tama Dekra. We don't change halacha because of the reasons. And for that reason, Bein Pnuya, Bein Nesua, everybody has to have 7 days. Okay, now the main point here is the question of Hargasha. What constitutes a Hargasha to be Tamei Min HaTaira? And by extension, and this is a case of Halacha L'maaseh, we have a Trumas Hadeshin's Chumrah. Trumas Hadeshin holds that if a woman has a Hargasha any time during the month, she's not expecting to bleed. She has a Hargasha at any time. So the Trumas Hadeshin says that a woman is obligated to make a Bedikah. Because since Dam comes with a Hargasha, so when a woman feels a Hargasha, and again we have to define a Hargasha, what it means, but that a woman is obligated to do a Bedikah. And not only that, but the Trumas Hadeshin says that when she does a Bedikah, if the feeling Dam, if she finds an excretion which is clear, yellow or a clear color that's tar, so she's tar naturally. She finds Dam, she's of course she's Tamei. Trumas Hadeshin says if she finds nothing, she has a Hargasha, does a Bedikah and finds there's nothing there, so the Trumas Hadeshin passes that she's Tamei. Because we assume that a Hargasha comes with Dam. So even though she had a Hargasha, she felt, she made a Bedikah, so the Trumas Hadeshin is brought down in Shulchan Aruch, it's Mekuf Tzadik, holds that a Hargasha of Alay Matzah Tameya, the Paiskim will say, naturally she should check her undergarments, if there's an excretion there, she could assume that's what came from the Hargasha. But if she finds nothing, that she's Tamei. Now that's Halacha L'maaseh. Now we have to know what a Hargasha is, because now it's a big because we have to assume a Hargasha comes with Dam. If there's a Hargasha, we have to assume there's blood. So she's Tamei. If she makes a Bedikah, she finds herself clear, then she's Tar. So now it's a tremendous nafkamino what a Hargasha is, because now it's Negei L'maaseh. So let's see Pischei Tshuva Aleph. He brings down three types of Hargasha. Shetargish, ayin berheite, v'da. The shloisha mina hargashas yesh. There are three types of hargasha. Linyan she tehei temeya medei reisa. To make a woman tamei min atayra. Aleph. She nizdazei at gufa, kamei shekasa v'rambam perachei, milchus esurabia din yadalid. She gets the shivers. Some women, when the period comes, they get the shakes.
The whole body.
I don't believe that today women have this nature. Beis. Second type. Sheniftach mekayra, they feel the cervix opening up. That's the second type of hargasha. They feel an opening of the cervix. There are some women today who say they feel it, and many women who say that they don't know what this hargasha is all about. Hashlish is the third type. Nimtza b'shailus v'tshuvas acharayim. This is the third type we don't find in the rishayim. We find it only in the acharayim. Zal, which is kishemageshes shadavar lach zav mimena b'fnim. She feels a flow bifnim. Now that's an important word. She feels it coming out of her body. That's not a hargasha, but she feels a flow within her body. There's a machlekes between the Nadi Yehuda and the Chavis Das. If this is only in the inside part of the vagina, near the cervix, or even in the outside part of the vagina. So we have now two opinions on what a hargasha is. If it's a flow on this third hargasha, a flow on the inside of the body, or flow near the outside, and in brackets, Amnam b'tshuvas k'sam seifa chaylik al zeh, v'kam b'tshuvas, v'herich levayar, v'zivas dov alach lav hargasha hu. Some seifa sheet is that zivas lav, this third hargasha is not considered a hargasha. Ayin sham, in simin kuf mem hei, kuf nam gimel, kuf sam azayin, kuf ayin aleph, v'kosu sham shekein hu mayre uba halacha l'maisa, chen kibu mei rabbi hagoin, rav nosin adler. We have here a machlaikis, whether a hargasha of a zivas dov alach is a hargasha or not? What's the machlaikis? Machlaikis has had a taich chumish. Okay? It says in the Torah, it says the word that she, it says by Dar, it says, Lashem bibsara. We Dar should acha targish bibsara. How do we know hargasha? Because it says when a woman has a flow of Dar, bibsara. What does it mean, bibsara, in her body? So that is, if you look in the Yehuda and the Chassam Sofer, they're arguing what taich bibsara. The Chassam Sofer understands bibsara to mean in the uterus, in the cervix. And the Nadav Yehuda understands bibsara to mean in the body, anywhere in the body. That is the argument of what it means, actually, targish bibsara. So we have here machlokes what this is, and you shouldn't wonder, this is an achrayim amachadish, there's a new hargasha, Chassam Sofer is right, you can't make a new chiddush. So the truth is that in the body of Shulchan he writes, and he's correct, it's not a chiddush. If you would learn the words, if we didn't have a pischei tshuva, and we read shetargish shenekar mimakayim ayviyatsa, So we might very well touch it that way. That is, you feel it coming out of the body. So that is the third type of hargasha. Now, many women today say that they don't feel any hargashas. Many women say that they don't know what hargasha is. Now, obviously, when they're flowing heavily, they feel blood, they feel zira stuff a lot. But normally, well, they don't understand what a hargasha is. And it's very interesting, the Aruch HaShulchan, and what's not his style, you would expect this from more of a kanoi. But listen to what the Aruch HaShulchan writes about these women that say they don't feel anything. He says he saw echad mehagidaylim shachakar al zel lenoshim. He says there's one guy who asked the ladies lenoshim bekiyais to expert women. I'm not sure bucky has to be in what you feel. Vamulay shetibius tibius yesh yeshem argishus bepsichas piyamakar. Some women do feel an opening of the uterus of the cervix. V'yeshem argishus bagashazu. That's what he says. Now the Aruch HaShulchan writes about this. V'hevel yitze pi hanoshim ha'ela. These women are talking nonsense. V'layadi mai kamri. Rabbi Seinu ne'emanim aleinu yaser mehem. But the Chazal are more believed than the women. V'regam eino mishakres v'divrayim. Also the Chazal are different. They don't lie. Elasheinu mevinais. Oh, I'm sorry. I mistranslated that. V'regam eino mishakres v'divrayim. He says the women are not lying. Sorry. Elasheinu mevinais. The women don't understand what a hargosh is. V'da. V'chodav ha-maisris shebeguf. Shaguf tzarf l'tchaisam. There are many things in the body which the body has to expel. Hatibi. Hitzbi HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'teva ha-guf. Shigi hazman d'chifasan l'chutz. And when it comes time for the body to give off certain excretions, shiyif t'chuaz nifei ha-plata. That the body opens up, that's one of the miracles of the body, that the body opens up to give out the different excretions. So he says, like, k'daylim, k'tanim, tzayis ha-chaytim. And by a woman, she has a fourth excretion, which is the dami amakar. So he says, "V'zeh hechrich shi'iftach hamakar, v'yeshek klal b'ifin acher, u'b'shas ha'psicha yesh hargasha, u'ksas tzar." Every time the body gives off dam, there's a certain opening, a feeling, and a bit of tzar. At shabbeizeh gab yakitz v'shenasai. Some women wake up when they start to get their period. Now he says, "K'may sheba anoshim." I guess he's saying he's not starting up with the ladies. You go to men. Imnishal l'kama b'nei adam. You ask men, "Echa targish v'ascholas hatolas meiraglayim." So what does it feel like to start urinating? So most people don't think too much about it, right? So Hamaskil Hameivin Dover Yaimar, somebody who's intelligent and understands will say, Shemargish Shniftach Hamakim Hameiraglayim Yaitzim. He says, well, it feels a certain opening, and the urine comes out. For Rebachlay, Umisheinay Meivin LaYaimar Rak Shemargish Meiraglayim Maskil Lotzeis. By men, you also have fine men will say that they don't feel anything open up. That's what the Aruch HaShulchan writes. He disagrees with this idea that there's no hargasha. Now that's what it seems. I mean, despite the Aruch HaShulchan's kanois on this, it seems that most women don't have hargasha. Women, even when they're asked, don't have hargasha. I'm not sure. You know, I'm not going to take a poll, but I don't know if most men, if what he's saying is true, that most men feel a psicha when they urinate. Rav Moshe, this I was told over from by Rabbi Bluth, who one of his areas of expertise is Hilchos Nida, and he said Rav Moshe was, his lashon was miktanei ha'amuna. Even when women said they had hargasha, it's miktanei ha'amuna that they're margish. Because it seems most women today do not feel psichas b'yamakar, don't feel anything opening up in the inside. And what Rav Moshe said is what he believes that they feel is when they bleed. Look, there's blood on the outside of the body, and when they're inside they don't feel it. They walk out, they're in a cooler place, or they stand up and there's a certain change, and suddenly they feel a wetness. They feel like it's flowing, but it's really just what's there. It's not a flowing. So Ramesha held that when women came and said they felt Aragosh and they had the Shaila, the Baidik, and they didn't find anything, so Ramesha would try to convince them, would make them have to convince him that there was really a Aragosh. We ask them to define it. Many women say they felt something, like they're bleeding. What is it? They can't explain. That's not a hargasha. Hargasha has to be one of these hargashas. Now, why do I mention this? Because there's an important area in halacha where this comes up. As I mentioned, women, when they feel a hargasha, are supposed to do a bedikah. Now, there is a kula of the Divrei Chayim. The Chachma Sadam seems to hold the same kula, if you look in the Chachma Sadam here. But it's spelled out clearly in the Tshuva, in the Divrei Chayim, the second chelik. Chachmas Adam as well. I don't have the Maramakim. But here in Arif, he says that if a woman has a Hargasha three times, and she does a Bedikah, and three straight times the Bedikah shows a clear excretion. But excretion is not Tameh. Does that be clear? What? It could be three in a row, it could be over a year. But three times that she has a Hargish, Shalai Bishas, that she's having a period, and she has an excretion, I'm not talking when she's flowing normally, and she feels it, but three times that she's not bleeding, and she makes a Bedikah, she has a Hargash, she makes a Bedikah, and three times in a row, it has to be in a row that it's a clear excretion. So for her, the different Chaim says, why Hargash you have to do a Bedikah? Because we say Hargash is an indication of blood. Three times is a Chazakah. So if she has three times, then she doesn't have to be Bedikah anymore. Hargash is not an indication of dam. That's the different Chaim. Now whether we would pass him like the Shita or not, based on the Shita alone, is something we can argue about. But when we're mitzarif to it, the fact that it's not clear that women have a Hargasha, certainly Zivas Dover Lach, with Mitzarev to it, the fact that the Sosefa disagrees, holds it's not a Hargasha. So with these Tzerufim, a person can be Mekel on, and be Sonach on the Devar Chaim, that after three Bedikas, that they can rely for the rest of their lives, that it's not an indication of the Amber. Ramesha said, not to rely on it during the Shiva Nikiyim.
Would she still have to make a Bedikah?
That she would not have to make a Bedikah every time she has a Hargasha. That's what Divrei Chaim is saying. That three times by her Hargasha is not an indication of dam, she can already drop it. But Rav Moshe said that during the Shiva Nikiyim, a woman should still, then still, Hargasha is an indication of dam. A woman who has a Hargasha should do a Vedika.
But after
she finds, you mean like a clear excretion?
No.
Or nothing?
Last two says three times she finds nothing.
Right.
A year later, gets Hargasha and then finds blood. Does this
Hargasha
go away?
No. Well, one time certainly not. Because we're not saying that Hargasha doesn't cause blood. We're just saying it's not an indication of blood. It could be something else. And you could argue if she has three other Hargashas with blood, whether that would break the first Hargasha. I guess we could argue about it. Probably it would. But there's no reason for her to make that, to make the Bedikas. So at any rate, that's a cool love, the Divrei Chaim. If somebody does make a Bedikah and finds nothing, they should ask a Shaila. It's a little complicated. Very often a woman has a Hargasha, she can't do the Bedikah right away. She does the Bedikah 10-15 minutes later. It's not clear that in such a case she'd be Tameh. She finds nothing. It's not clear that the Halacha is that way. Certainly if she has a Hargasha on the train, she does the Bedikah an hour later, the Paiskim would say she's not Tameh if she finds nothing. Now the question is, what is the guideline? How soon does it have to, what take it? What does it mean immediately? So a person, if it comes up, a person should ask a Shaila. Fortunately, it's not a common Shaila. Women who have a Hargasha, it's usually because they have dam, and if it's not because they have dam, then it's because of some other excretion, and usually it's not the Shaila. I've never been asked the Shaila. A woman that she made a Bedika and she found nothing. It's
according,
not common.
According to emotion, then,
she found nothing, including finding nothing on the underwear. She found nothing, she checked the underwear, and it's
according
not
common. Emotion, women then only do the job on then she holds it up to
the underwear. That's an issue. First of all, when they bleed, I believe that they do feel as even stuff a lot, certainly. But that is an argument that can be made whether today, so not everyone needs a deraisa. If we say they don't have Hargasha, so maybe nobody's going to need a deraisa. Be a nice limud first. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is nice to Klal Yisrael that today so many Jews are fry. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu took away the mitzvah of Hargasha. But the fact is, I don't believe it's true, and I don't believe the Paiskim them. Even those who say they have no Hargasha, they don't accept that, because I think when a woman has a normal bleeding, certainly this is Zivas Dover Lach. There's a feeling of flow. So that would be their eyes. So that's some cipher, which is really a Shvera Shita. Externally, all right. We can argue about it. We don't feel it. But I believe that there is an internal flow.
But one could say that?
I think one would have to phrase the question as why, rather than to say it. It's a very dangerous thing to say. Somebody, Suri Karas. It's a very dangerous thing to say.
Would you have died? Would you have died at some point?
No, I don't think any of the place can have that on.
The woman's expecting a period and she shows her Hargasha. And she did three things.
And she's expecting a period and she has Hargasha?
Yeah. Could she be Samech on the Chazaka?
She can be Samech on the Chazaka. As a matter of Eitzah, I would say that if a person should not immediately go and do things, that would be an issue of their eyes. If it was Dam, should wait, at least wait and see if her flow is beginning, if she's expecting a period. Okay. Ramesha wrote, in one of his Truvas, Ramesha writes, a woman has to do a bedikah every month on Lamed and Lamed Aleph. She doesn't have a set period. She makes a bedikah every month, the 30th and 31st day. And she does bedikahs on the Yom HaHaflaga. Last month she saw on the 35th day, so she does a bedikas on the 35th day. Now what happens after all these pass? 30th pass, the 31st pass, the 35th pass. It all passed. She didn't get a period yet. So Rav Moshe writes in the tshuva that any night that a couple's going to have bia, after these all these days have passed, Rav Moshe writes a woman should make bedika before bia. That's what Rav Moshe writes in the tshuva. So, and you know, it's agav, it's a letter to Rav Luz. And he writes a derech agav in the tshuva. So anybody who calls Rav Moshe says, what's the makar for this? There's no such makar for it. Rabbi HaShulchan is one place where he brings Rav Moshe and he's more makel. He says he doesn't understand what's a makar for such a thing. And I believe that Rav Moshe only meant it as an Eitz HaTayva. I don't think Rav Moshe meant it as a halach. He's writing to someone who learns a chasanim. It's an Eitz HaTayva. All the times to expect your period have passed. She's obviously going to bleed any minute. So it's an Eitz HaTayva. It doesn't mean she has to do a bedika a minute before, but sometime during that evening or that afternoon, she should do a bedika. It's an Eitz HaTayva. If she's getting a period, then a person should be aware of it. Well, let's see the second half of the Pesach Tshuva, which is a Gemara. Okay, right after the brackets. If a woman does a bedika and the bedika cloth has blood on it, or immediately after bia, you have a suffix deraisa. Do we say that it's a suffix deraisa? The name ahadulei argisha. Mishum desavra hergish aid. Maybe we should say she really had a hargasha, but being that she was doing a bedika, she felt the bedika and that covered up the feeling of the hargasha. I shamish. The shamish means a bia. I lie. So I am b'tshuva shev yakei b'tshuvas keser kahuna sheherichu b'zeh. I am divrei hashlah sheveis v'kaman. Omnam hakreis yu placei sidrei tara v'chavaz das. Three of the gedolei ha'paiskim kasvu duhu deraisa. Despite the fact that the earlier sources question whether it's a vadei deraisa or a sofik, these paiskim the kreis yu placei sidrei tara v'chavaz das hold duhu deraisa. That if a woman makes a bedika and finds blood, that's considered dam deraisa, and it's a big chiddush. Because we're saying the women don't have argasha, so why say that at the time of the bdika, punk then she had argasha? But they name on that it's deraisa. Avol bikinuach, but if she just wiped the outside of the body, or she liyachnisa eid be'aymik, or even if she stuck in the bdika cloth, but that deep, elavapreit olachutz, only in the external part, any element rabbanon, kishalei hagisha, b'chein samuch latolos me'eraglayim, ugam kein deraisa. Also when a woman urinates, could be she felt zivas of a lash, but it was urine. But maybe it was really dam. Now this is a difficult question, the Achrayim. Unfortunately, it's the end of the shir, because I can't explain this adequately. But the Achrayim discuss at length the Sidrei Tara in a few places. And it seems that they neman that if a woman makes a bedika, and she feels that her, and she finds dam, it's not even a sofik if it's deraisa drabana, it's vadi deraisa. Dilma Hargashas Eid, who was Lashon of the Gemara, and maybe she had a hargasha, and it was hargasha say. They name on that this is a deraisa. That we assume there was a hargasha. Now, why it is that we assume a hargasha, if there's an esophic in the dam, why don't we call it a sex fake, or deraisa, you can also be make. Why don't we call it a esophic? So it's not so clear. No, a number of Achrayim discuss it. But it seems clear that they name on that it is. It could be it has to do with the din deraisa. About shatargish bibsara, the Sidrei Tara, one place writes such a lashon. On shatargish bibsara, his lashon is, the dam is always tame, and until she knows there's no hargasha, it's deraisa. It's like when the Torah is mamayit a suffik b'feirish, that any time unless you know there's no hargasha, that it's automatic that it's considered tar. It's an issue I can't. Whether if a woman scratches herself, she goes to a doctor. The doctor says that she has a scratch, it's bleeding. Then she's tar. Otherwise, we don't see. Okay, so this is the halacha of Hargasha. Yitz Hashem, next week we'll start. Simen Kuf Pei Dalet.